The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So, that big storm is coming. Be careful out there. And there may be some storms coming on the free agency front as well. We'll tell you all about it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday when everybody's in a bad mood. The weather's going to suck while you're driving home, so we're just going to try to get you home safely and have some fun today. And I've already seen a little bit of what it's going to be like for the next hour and a half because it took me about 35 minutes to get down West Park because of lights being out, what usually takes 5 minutes.
Not great.
No, but that's all right. Got here in plenty of time.
I got here smooth and easy today, knock on wood. It's not a typically the way it goes, but it went that way today, so I'm happy.
Well, what's going on today, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. What's going on with you?
The same.
I've been getting up extremely early on Tuesdays and Thursdays to get in my early training sessions.
Yeah.
Kind of leading up to that match that I have. It's kind of like a fight camp. You do extra work, and I'm trying to get my weight right. My alarm goes off at 5 a.m. on those days, and I know for you, that's not that big of a deal.
No.
That's a normal day for you. 5 a.m. for me might as well be not sleeping at all. I have a hard time going to bed before 1 a.m., specifically when, like, there's all these college basketball conference tournaments and stuff like that going.
Yeah.
Very difficult for me to just shut my brain off and go to sleep because I'm trying to make money, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So my alarm goes off at 5 a.m. I go and drive to train and train for an hour and a half. Something like that. Drive back. I took the most glorious nap today, and I think that's going to be my move from now on, and until after this match. I'm Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm just going to take a nap because I feel like I feel better than like I got a full night's sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. Who knows? I probably won't be able to sleep tonight.
I still think it's that brain stuff you're doing.
It might be that too. That on it.
Yeah.
It could be. I still got to bring you some of that. That's making my body feel a lot better, but I'm telling you, that mixed with a nap, that's the magic potion. That's the miracle potion.
See, a nap's kind of an old man thing.
Maybe it is. I don't care if people think I'm an old man.
I struggle with it. If I take a nap, I'm always really fuzzy for about 2 hours after I wake up. So I have to time it to where it's, you know, if I'm doing it, I have to be up by 1:30 or else I'm going to get here and I'll be like, yeah, the Blitz is on, man. Let's do this. Yeah. But good for you. Glad you're in a good mood. So Lamar Miller do anything for you?
There's some things I like about him, some things I don't. I'm guessing you're going to have to pay that guy a healthy running back salary, although I'm guessing it'll be less than what you've been paying a running back.
Right.
But let's also keep in mind Lamar Miller is Arian Foster. The good thing about him is the dude's young, 24, 25, and I think he's still got a lot of tread on his tires.
They never used him that much.
Yeah,
so
this is not a guy who's been a 30 carry a game guy. So that part I like. This guy in his career, he's got under 650 carries. That does it for me. I like that because I don't want some beat up, you know, run down guy. The Texans apparently making a strong push for him from what I understand, the Dallas Cowboys also very interested in him. So maybe he seems like he's coming to Texas. It's just going to be a matter of who throws the money, I guess.
And
I don't want to get in a bidding war for him.
No. That's
from what I understand, the Cowboys said he wanted $6 million a year. He said no thanks. He wanted that DeMarco Murray money, and they were like, "No, you ain't that."
Yeah.
So they're offering him between 4 and 5. If the Texans can get him for between 4 and 5, I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think because he's a free agent, it's probably going to be a little more than that. I think even if you go to 5.5, that's the price of buying somebody else's player.
Yeah.
And I'd be okay with that. They're also apparently making a strong push for Travis Benjamin, which I think would be a great addition for them. That's
Texans or the Cowboys?
The Texans.
Okay.
Which is another guy that that's exactly what I've been saying they need, is a guy who can return kicks, who's explosive, who can get downfield, and the fact that they're
it's
in
deep
on him. Yeah, it sounds good that they're in on both those guys. And they do have some cap room to play with here. And yeah, I still think Brock Osweiler's staying in Denver, but if not, I mean, it seems like they're the one team that's got a shot at getting him.
Are you high on Lamar Miller?
I think it'd be a good signing. I think it'd be an upgrade for that price. I'll take that, and I still draft one.
Yeah, there's a lot of running backs to me this offseason that kind of fall into the same tier.
Yeah.
As Lamar Miller. I think Matt Forte, I like a little bit less because he's older, but he's more proven than any of these other guys. I think Doug Martin, he may be a notch better than those guys.
I think he's also going to demand more money.
I think he's going to be the most expensive guy on the board. And then Chris Ivory, who I think is a really durable, really powerful back. I'd like to see him. Alfred Morris, maybe a little bit less. That's a guy who 2 years ago you could have convinced me this
would
be a good one, but I haven't seen much out of him lately that makes me want him. But I think there's a lot of those sort of second to third tier running backs available, and that's what the Texans are going to end up looking at. But like you said, I think the smart thing to do is going to be to get one of those guys and draft one. And depending on which one you get, if you get a Lamar Miller, I don't think you need to draft one in the first or second round.
No,
I think you need to forget about Ezekiel Elliott and maybe look at a fourth, fifth round back. But if you end up with an Alfred Morris, maybe you do want to reach a little bit sooner.
Yeah, I think
or a Matt Forte, who is not going to be a long-term answer.
No, but if everything goes perfectly, let's say you do get Lamar Miller at a reasonable price. Let's say you wind up with Brock Osweiler and Travis Benjamin. You're probably not keeping Brandon Brooks, so suddenly your priority becomes drafting offensive linemen, because you pretty much fixed a couple of very big holes on that offense if you do that. Whether Osweiler works out or not is obviously going to be up in the air if you do sign him. But at least at that point, now your issue becomes, okay, how do we replace – and Ben Jones, they haven't re-signed yet either.
Yep.
So now your priority becomes replacing those guys. But if you could pull those three, you've totally remade your offense.
Yep.
And I think – yeah, and obviously they're going to have to be in play for a tight end at some point. I don't think that guy is in the draft. I could be wrong about that. Your good buddy Owen Daniels was released today.
Yeah.
So I think maybe a second or, well, really.
Made me money on that first catch of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What a guy.
But I think a third or fourth tier tight end would be fine, and that's not going to cost you that much. Although if the Colts are setting the market for tight ends, I think you might want to just. Yeah,
you might need to just draft one.
Yeah,
it's not going to be cheap, I guess, because like I said yesterday, I don't think that those Colts tight ends are very good, and they're getting paid like they're good. So I don't know what a good tight end is going to cost you. Same goes for defensive ends, because Malik Jackson. Don't get me wrong, Malik Jackson's good,
very good player,
but 6 years, $90 million?
Yeah, dude? Well, and part of that is Jacksonville's just got ridiculous money to spend, too.
I mean, goodness.
They can afford to go and overpay for guys because they're going to have to. And, yeah, I think for Jacksonville, they've got to fix that defense.
When you can get Malik Jackson for 6 years, $90 million, So you're paying $15 million a year for Malik Jackson. Rumors are Mario Williams is about to sign with Miami for $8 million a year. Don't you feel like you're getting a little bit better of a deal? Even though, I mean, Malik Jackson's probably 4 or 5 years younger than Mario. I feel a lot better with Mario at $8 million a year than Malik Jackson at $15
million. Yeah, I would agree. And even $8 million sounds a little light to me for, you know, if you get
him. I think you're getting a bargain on that guy. Yeah. When you go look through the best defensive ends, the best pass rushers of the last 5, 10 years, you're not getting very far down the list before you find Mario Williams' name.
Yeah.
And they're about to get him on the cheap.
And a lot of people asking about, haven't heard your thoughts on RG3 to the Texans. We spent almost an hour on that yesterday and why we like Brock Osweiler. And it's actually on the Facebook page. So if you want to go back and listen to that rather than reset that whole thing, because we did spend a lot of time on it yesterday.
Striving for success. If you signed Brock, would you still draft a quarterback at some point in this draft? That's tough. You're definitely not signing one early. You're not playing for one early. And
no.
Then you've already got Tom Savage, who you may want to wait one more year on. I think you're probably letting it pass this year, and then you're probably letting Savage walk away and drafting another one late next year, which probably makes more sense than drafting one this year.
Yeah, although Savage may be your backup. If you're investing that much in Osweiler, you're certainly not keeping Brian Hoyer around, I don't think, because at the money he's making.
Yeah.
And so Savage might be your backup. It may be in your interest to get a guy later in the draft who's your next Tom Savage project, who you hope turns into a backup quarterback or maybe turns into something.
Because Savage is probably gone after this next year anyway.
Yeah. I think it – and as far as, you know, if you were to get a Brock Osweiler, then I think you still probably draft somebody just in case that doesn't work out. I mean, I don't think you draft him high, but – you look at a Dak Prescott round 3 or 4, somebody like that, that would be a 2 year down the road project, because by then you'll know whether or not it worked out with the guy. And if it didn't, then maybe you get lucky with somebody like that. But I because somebody asked me that earlier on Twitter, and it's just, well, it depends. If you fill the running back need, if you fill a receiver need, then yeah, you might be able to draft another quarterback.
Yeah.
Because you'll suddenly have a luxury.
Yeah. What, I mean, all this, should they draft this and this? It, to me, the answer is going to be, I don't know until we see what holes they fill via free agency and what holes they're left with after free agency.
Right, right.
You know, they may need to prioritize interior offensive line.
Yeah.
In the draft, and that may change where they're looking at running backs, et cetera, because it's still a pretty important position, and if you lose some guys out of there, you're gonna have to fill those holes, because we thought the offensive line was undermanned last year. If they lose Jones and Brooks, I mean, geez, they didn't have depth last year.
Right.
They're going to have to seriously invest in interior offensive line. So
and whether or not they do that in the draft or in free agency or how they do,
yeah,
it, because they
way,
don't have guys right now.
No. The offensive line that is signed to this team is not good enough. And now again, if they re-sign Brooks and Jones, you probably still need to add something.
Yeah.
But if you lose one of those guys, you're going to have to add multiple pieces, because you don't have what it takes to fill those holes right now. All right, guys, I got to tell you about Dirt Free Cleaning. Listen, if you've had to replace your carpets, you know what a pain in the ass it is. And if you're getting to that point where you're going to have to replace them again, maybe think about the alternative. Instead of searching for the right carpet and ripping up the old stuff and installing the new, remember, that's a costly thing. Instead of doing all that, call Dirt Free. You can keep your carpet looking new no matter how long you've had it. It extends the life of your carpet. You can go long without replacing it. I actually did that with my rental house there in Austin. I thought I was going to have to throw the old carpet out and replace it. Had Dirt Free out there. They had it looking brand new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soaps or chemicals, which can damage the carpet fibers like a lot of the other guys do. They've got the non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water and truck-powered equipment, and that technology is what sets them apart. Once the stains are gone, they aren't coming back. Sunday service is now available as well. Start the new year with a brand new look and feel of clean carpets. They've got a great deal for you right now. 3 rooms for just $99.95 with a free speed dry to the first 25 callers that mention my name. 281-347-8373. That's 281-347-8373. Or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Cleaning.
Dream. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Lamont asked, is McClain wrong on retreads? He's been saying the Texans are going to get their own guys, no retreads.
What's a retread? Yeah, exactly. Are you going to call Osweiler a retread?
I'm not.
Because I think a retread is a guy who's had a full-on opportunity somewhere else and washed out. So to me, Colin Kaepernick is a retread. Bob Griffin is a retread. Brock Osweiler, in my opinion, is still an unknown commodity.
Yeah. And with a 7-game sample size, basically, where he played on a Super Bowl team and at times played really well, and he's been waiting for 4 years, I don't consider him a retread. I would consider RG3 a retread.
Absolutely.
Colin Kaepernick's a retread. So, no, I don't think he's wrong, but I guess it depends on your definition. A lot of people asking about Mike Wallace, too. Would he be an upgrade? I think if you got him cheap, there's other guys I prefer, though. I'm not looking
to bring in another. I don't know if he's exactly 30. He's got to be damn near 30. I think it's probably better to go young.
All right, let's.
That guy hardly did anything. It seems this last season. He was useless. Mm-hmm. I think his best days are behind him.
Nick, you never go full retread. But he says, well, he calls Mallett a retread. If Mallett is one by his own definition, you'd have to ask him that. I can't.
I don't think Mallett was a retread. I think Mallett was, again, an unknown commodity.
Well, I think it's a very similar situation. The difference is that at least this guy has been on the field, and you've seen a little bit of him. You hadn't seen anything of Mallett. Let's try a phone call. Is that Coach Cortez? I can't read the whole name up there. It says Coach Court.
Hey,
so.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. Sure. I just wanted to talk about the Dolphins' latest moves. I love what they did yesterday with the trade for Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell. But today I've heard that they reached a deal with Mario Williams and they're bringing in Pac-Man Jones. I don't understand like why you would let go of the good players that you have in Olivier Vernon and Brent Grimes to bring in, you know, other players that are older.
Well, I'm not crazy about the Maxwell move. I like Kiko Alonso a lot. I mean, Maxwell, to me, was a creation of the Seahawks. And fit well there, didn't play well last year in Philly. I don't think is that great of a cornerback. Grimes, I mean, to me, you're just kind of switching names there. As far as Mario, I think that's a great signing.
Yeah, now, even without Olivier Vernon, I feel like...
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they tendered Vernon, though, right? I mean, he's if somebody signs him, they got to give up draft picks.
Maybe so.
Now, what I think it means is probably...
He got the transition tag.
But I think that probably means the end for Cameron Wake. I don't think you can afford to pay all those guys.
Yeah.
But I like what they've done. I think that's, those are good pickups. And I think that'll help their defense.
And the way someone's going to get him is they're going to... If they're going to steal Vernon from the Dolphins, they're going to have to make some sort of a front-loaded offer.
Right.
Which... Miami wouldn't be able to match. You know, if they make something where they've got a bunch of money on the back, Miami could easily match it. So if you actually want them, you have to make a big front-loaded offer.
Yeah.
If you remember last year, that's kind of what the Bills did with Charles Clay.
Yeah, the tight end.
When they took Charles Clay from them, they overinflated the first year's salary cap hit and made it where the Dolphins couldn't really match. So it's kind of, I don't know if it's sort of shady, I guess, but I guess it's strategic.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you've got room and another team doesn't to front load something,
you
do it.
You do it.
Plus it makes it easier.
If you really
on you.
Want the guy.
Yeah. And it makes it easier on you in the long term because you don't have to pay him as much in the subsequent years. A couple of other little news items happening today. The Eagles signed Leotis McKelvin. We mentioned Mike Wallace getting cut. Richie Incognito signs on for 3 more years with the Bills.
Boy, he played really well last year.
He did. And
he played like one of the better guards in the league, which I was totally shocked at. I thought, oh, they're getting him. He'll be a guy.
Yeah.
That guy can still play, man. He can still play.
And he took a little less money because the Bills gave him a chance.
Yep.
When nobody else would. So
gave him a discount.
Yeah, and that's good. That's good for both the Bills and for him. And yeah, I know, get back to the RG3 thing, because everybody seems to think that, oh, I want to get him here. I want to get him. He played at Baylor and all this. That doesn't matter. I mean, what matters is, can the guy play now? Of the retreads, I like him the best. That's the guy I would, if I struck out everywhere else, that's where I'd go. But I wouldn't have very high expectations, and I'm still drafting a quarterback really, really high if that happens. So, you know, we'll see. I think tomorrow we'll know a lot more, because I like that even if they don't get him, I like that they're in on Osweiler. I like that they're swinging for that, because they will be addressing the position finally. And, you know, we'll see what happens there. But it's good to hear their names in on some key things, like running back and Travis Benjamin and guys like that. I don't think you're going to get them. You might get one of them, but I think that would
Yeah, I mean, and if you don't get all the guys you're in on, that's not the worst thing. I mean, sometimes you...
No, but how often do we see teams win free agency and then they don't do anything?
Right.
And usually it's the Bucs winning free agency or somebody like that. This year it's going to be the Jaguars. Does that really mean they're going to go out there and do anything? When the Texans have dipped their toe in the water in free agency, it's been hit or miss. And the one year that it really hit was when they brought in Joseph and Manning. They got those moves right. And when the alternative was overpaying Nnamdi Asamoah, that could have been a disaster. But they've also messed up on guys like Ed Reed and Amon Green and players like that. But getting guys in their prime has worked out. So I like the names that I'm hearing, and I hope they get one or two of them. But, you know, that also might create more needs. Because if you sign all those guys and you don't keep Burks and Jones, now you're rebuilding your offensive line. And I think re-signing Adams yesterday, well, not a significant move, might wind up being kind of important, because that may be a guy who winds up starting for you.
Yeah.
443 asks, would you rather have Miko Grimes antics or Pac-Man Jones antics? I'll take Pac-Man over Miko.
I think I would too.
Yeah, even though his are on field, hers concerned the hell out of me. That woman's crazy. Frobia says, Bills players bad-mouthing Mario is the least surprising thing ever. I think that was just a bad fit with Ryan. I mean, that...
Yeah, no one complained about Mario up until a year ago.
Yeah.
When Ryan got in. Mario was a perfect fit for what Jim Schwartz was doing with that defense. A perfect fit. And that's why the Bills had the best defense in football a couple years ago. Last year they weren't as good, because the scheme didn't showcase what a lot of those guys wanted to do. So I'm not worried too much about it. Anybody. Once a guy leaves, there's almost always people who are bitter about it.
Yeah, and obviously there were times last year where he didn't play his hardest, and at times I think he was also being misused, and that gets frustrating too. But I think it's, you know, I think Mario's going to be a good pickup for the Dolphins. He's a better fit for how they play defense, and I think they're going to be happy with him, especially for that price. I think that's a very reasonable number. All right. We are going to take a very quick break. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll take some phone calls. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Jay Garcia says, you say finally at quarterback. Isn't this last year with Mallett again? It was addressed. He sucked. What if Osweiler does too?
There's a possibility he would.
Of course there is. But the difference is, and again, we spent a lot of time on this yesterday, so I'd really encourage you to go back to podcastarena.com and listen to the first hour, because there was a lot about this on RG3, and I don't want to just have to rehash the whole thing, and I'm sorry you missed it. But The reality is, with Ryan Mallett, you didn't know because, but you gave up a seventh round draft pick. Nobody else really wanted the guy. With Osweiler, his own team is offering him $15 million a year. We do have some samples of him playing games, including a game where he beat the Patriots.
Right.
So, I mean, Mallett hadn't played. He hadn't taken any snaps. So you didn't know from that reason. You've at least seen Osweiler in meaningful NFL games. And, yeah, he may be a bust, but of the options out there, he's the most attractive one.
Right.
If he winds, and I think he's going to wind up back in Denver, but if he doesn't, you know, then I like the move. I like them trying, whether it works out or not.
I still, and I think you agree, I still don't think that Brock Osweiler ends up here.
I don't either.
This is a power play by him or his agent or whatever,
yeah,
to get the maximum money out of the Broncos, because especially now, he's got all the leverage.
Right.
Peyton Manning's retiring. So the Broncos can either pay Brock Osweiler, or they're looking at guys like RG3.
Right.
You know, and they don't want to be in that situation. They're the Super Bowl champions. So I think that he's using the Texans to get some more leverage.
Yeah, and I think the Broncos are probably looking for ways to clear a little more cap space to give him the number he wants. Let's try a phone call. Philip, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Sports.
Sports to you, sir.
Hey, I wanted to talk about the Mario Williams pickup with the Dolphins.
Okay.
I think putting him on the other side of the line with Cameron Wake and having Stu tied up in the middle is a great call. I also heard rumors of him possibly getting Kiko Alonso and Byron Maxwell from the Eagles. Wanted to see if what you guys thought about maybe putting them in that upper echelon of that division with the Patriots. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Well, it's going to either be Cameron Wake or Olivier Vernon, one of those
guys.
Yeah,
you're losing one of those guys. There's no way you're going to be able to keep them both.
I mean, Wake's in the final year of his contract, so if they end up keeping Vernon, they'll probably cut Cameron Wake. And he's a popular guy there. I know that won't be a popular call. They did get Alonzo and Maxwell from the Eagles. Is that enough to put them in the upper tier of the division? I think no, mostly because you're losing Lamar Miller and Ryan Tannehill's still your quarterback. I think that you're still pretty limited on one side of the ball. I think defensively they're going to be really good, but hell, there's a couple teams in that division that are really good defensively. The Bills are really good defensively.
So are
the Jets are good defensively. But their struggles on offense are what's keeping them from being in the Patriots class. And I don't see any team in that division, unless they get significantly better on the offensive side, competing with the Patriots.
Let's try Joe real quick. What's up, Joe? Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Hey, Sports Joe.
Hey, I was calling to comment on the Bills' brother situation, the Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan duo over there. You know, what do you think the chances are that, you know, if their defense does tank this year, that, you know, he's going to have to fire his brother as defensive coordinator out there? I'll hang up on this.
Well, I'll be honest. I think if their defense tanks this year, he's not going to have to worry about firing him because he's fired.
Yeah, he'll be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who was brought in as a defensive coach. So, I mean, when you're a defensive coach and you hire your brother to be your defensive coordinator, I mean, you're putting all your eggs into that basket. It's not like you can fire your brother and suddenly that's going to buy you some time.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that's how it would work in this situation. I think if the Bills continue to get worse on defense, they're going to be looking for a new coach.
Yeah. And I would say that they didn't take a significant jump forward. In fact, they went backwards defensively last year, and he's a defensive
went
coach.
Went way backwards. But they did get a lot better on offense.
Yeah,
and how much of that is on the coaching staff? How much of it is on the emergence of Tyrod Taylor? I don't know, but you know there is something to be said for that. If they would have had last year's offense with 2014's defense, that's a playoff team. It's not even a discussion. But as it stands, they lost a lot off that defense when they improved offensively.
713-780 ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Let's try Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Hey.
Hey, sports.
Hey, I just wanted to see what y'all thought about the Texans addressing the middle linebacker position, trying to pick up maybe a cover linebacker or something like that. I'll hang up and listen.
Again, I mean, I'm sure that's one of the positions I'm sure they'd like to fill. I don't know how they're going to address it. I don't know if that's something they're going to look at in free agency or in the draft.
Well, I think they did address it last year when they drafted Bernardrick McKinney as high as they did.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see him take a big step forward. Now, he's not a real great coverage linebacker, but you don't use those guys to cover much. You need Cushing to do more of that. And theoretically, another year removed from his injury, you know, maybe he starts bringing those explosive plays back. His tackling was fine last year, but the forced fumbles, the interceptions, the explosive plays were gone. And I think that's if that's what he's going to be, that's fine. You need to get that from somewhere else. I think McKinney takes a big step. I don't know that that's an area where I'd be looking to invest significant money. I might look at a draft pick, or I'd look at another. You know, I'd look at they've been pretty good at finding guys off the street. You know, the Mike Muhammads of the world. They can go in and play for you in that position. They need some depth there, but I don't think that's a position of need. I think they did address that in last year's draft, and that's a guy who got better as the season went on, and I think will be much better next year.
I wonder if, and listen, he's older. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how much he's still got, but I wonder if D'Amico Ryans is a guy worth looking at.
I think he'd be worth bringing in and taking a look at.
I said the same thing about Derek Johnson, another guy who's older.
I prefer Derek Johnson, frankly, because yeah. He still has some speed, and that's a guy who can cover.
Derek Johnson covers. He plays well against the run, and he can make some plays when he blitzes. That's a guy, if you get a 1 or 2 year deal on that guy, I think you may have some value.
Yeah, and even D'Amico, I think if you can get him at veteran minimum, you bring him in.
Yeah, I don't think you can get Derek Johnson at veteran minimum.
I don't think you can, but a lot depends on what else they get. I don't know, like I said, that that's a need, but if you can get somebody like that to boost that a little. Plus, they did use McKinney outside some last year too, which if you did get another inside linebacker, you could do more of that, which depending on what happens with Clowney and everything else. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Guys, be realistic with the man when he calls into the radio station. Cushing is a liability. Stop sugarcoating it. He's not a liability.
I don't think he's a liability.
He's not.
He's not what he used to be. He's not a giant plus.
No,
but he's not a liability.
No, he's not a liability. Now
he's a guy you're comfortable having out there. I mean, he's no longer a star player. At least on the field, he's not a star player, but he's still a solid player.
He's functional
guys.
Now for what you're paying him.
Oh, that's a different story.
Yeah, that's he's not.
But that'll change.
He's not that.
That'll change next offseason.
Yeah, and if that's your standard. Then liability is not the right word, but he's not worth what he's getting paid. But he's also not—he's not a negative on the field out there. Let's try Sean. What's up,
Sean?
Hey, Sean. Sports to you.
Sports to you.
I just had a question about DeMarco Murray, about how his transition from the Cowboys to the Eagles was completely and utterly not what he expected at all. And I want to know how you think the transition to the Titans would be for him. I hang up and listen.
You know, I don't know. I think that this might be a situation where he just feels like he needs a fresh start. We've been saying if Tennessee got some running game help, their offense could start to grow a little bit. They clearly needed him. As long as Mariota's healthy, I could see him being pretty valuable. If Mariota gets hurt again, I think he's going to wish that he'd stayed in Philadelphia.
Well, there's two thoughts for me on this. First off, when he was in Dallas, he had one of the best offensive lines in the league. If not, you can make a case it was the best, but certainly one of the best. Philadelphia's was a mess. The Titans was a mess last year. I think if they have invested a lot in it, it hasn't really worked out yet. If you draft Laremy Tunsil with the first pick and put him in there, then you know, maybe you get better offensive line play. And if you do, I think having a guy like Mariota who can run a little bit helps running backs. So I think he'll be okay. But I think I wouldn't expect him to be what he was with the Cowboys ever again. And that was the career year for him, let's be honest. You look at his entire career in Dallas, he did that one time.
One time.
So
he just did it at the right time.
Yeah, and he got paid for it. All right, quick break. We'll get some more phone calls when we come back. A lot more to get to. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Kick off your weekend right. Have lunch out with ESPN 97.5 each Friday. John and Raheel, followed by Unfiltered, will broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston, 2713 Rocky Ridge.
I'm going to have to go out there after my my little deal and eat some grub.
Yeah, I haven't.
Big-ass calzones.
I haven't been there in a while. I need to get back out there. That's that used to be my home away from home.
Yeah.
But
Good food there.
Yeah, they have great food and you know, terrific alcohol, everything. It's a cool place to go and watch sports and glad that we're doing the shows out there on Fridays. You know, kind of like to get our show out there a little more often. But, you know.
We're busy on Fridays.
We're expensive. Let's try Chris 2. There's two Chris's. We'll go with Chris 2. What's
Sorry,
up, Chris 2?
Chris 1, you got passed over.
Hey, guys.
Hey, sports.
I'm actually just worried about the contract for Fitzpatrick that the Jets might offer him next season or this upcoming season. What's his cap? Because I really don't want to pay this guy a lot because I just see him actually, you know, not increasing in performance. I see him decreasing as far as his history in the game is considered. He'll have one good year, one bad year, one good year. And, of course, people are considering, even though we didn't, I'm a Jets fan, we didn't make the playoffs, that was his good year and he can get better. And I'm just saying, no, that's not the case. So I don't want to unload the cash truck in front of this guy. So what do you think is his actual potential for making for next season as far as his contract? And I'll hang up and listen.
Man, I honestly think that you've got – he's about – I mean, his cap hits some a little under $3.5 million. With Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays how he played last year, and if you can, and I don't think they'll be able to get him for that, which is kind of the problem. I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent now. I don't think they'll be able to get him.
Well, yeah, he's from what I understand, he's asking for 15, which
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, although if you look at the contracts that the Sam Bradfords of the world are getting,
true.
And then it becomes, do you pay this guy that much money? I think it's too much.
To me, the problem with the Jets last year wasn't Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No.
And if I'm a Jets fan, I'd like to get Ryan Fitzpatrick back and hope that they can fix some things around him. That said, last year may have been, you know, the last couple of years may be about as good as you can get out of him. But that's good enough.
Yeah.
For a lot of teams, that's good enough. I mean, that's better than a lot of teams in the league have at that position.
Yeah, and I don't know about the good year, bad year thing because he played pretty well for the Texans. And even though he got benched, if you go back and look, he had a very good season for the Texans. So I wouldn't pay him that. But I think realistically, even on a one-year deal, you're looking at 10 or 12 probably, which, I mean, that's the minimum going rate for a starting quarterback. And if you're him... You know, somebody's going to pay you that. You don't think the Rams would pony up $10 or $12 million for him?
Oh yeah, hell, if somehow the Broncos lose Osweiler,
yeah, I think he'd be a very big possibility in Denver.
And where would you rather go get $10 million a year, Denver or the Jets?
Exactly. I mean, that's a team that you know you're going to have a good defense, and you'll be able to go out there and theoretically have a team that can win the division again. So, this is the frustrating thing about free agency and also kind of the fun thing about it is that you have to make decisions on how much you're willing to spend on guys. And, you know, sometimes you're going to have to overpay simply because of the situation.
Well, and here's the other thing. Let's say the Jets say, no, you're too expensive for us, Ryan Fitzpatrick. That means, Jets fan, Geno Smith is your quarterback next year. Good luck.
Or Bryce Petty. Or guess what? You're in the same boat that the Texans, Rams, Browns, everybody else is in where, oh, well, we need to go find a quarterback now. Do we look at RG3? Do we trade for Colin Kaepernick? It's all the same questions.
Yeah, I mean, Brock Osweiler, Chase Daniel, it's a slim free agent class. That's why I think the Broncos are going to keep the guy they've got. That's why I think the Jets should keep the guy that they've got because the alternatives out there aren't good. And if the Jets draft somebody, they're kind of starting from scratch.
All right, now we'll go to Chris 1. What's up, Chris 1?
Hey, y'all, sports.
Sports to you, Chris.
All right, I know I'm changing the topic. I kind of missed the intro, but which is my loss. But I just wanted to give a comment and then ask a question. My comment is that I'm a casual UFC fan. I mean, I've known about it forever, for as long as, I mean, probably not when it was created, but when I was young, I remember boxing from when I was really, really young. And I remember.
We lost you.
UFC has become like some type of combination of boxing and wrestling, where there's like a serious sport and a real matchup between two competitors, and then all the fun that you get that I got when I was 10 from wrestling. So from being a casual fan, and I'm becoming a real fan of the UFC, and I think they got something really good here that probably doesn't fit into a lot of demographics because you're not going to.
All right. Well,
your phone is terrible.
Yeah, there were some decent points in there. Unfortunately, we didn't get to hear them all. But
what the UFC is doing recently is they're marketing their stars, and it's making more people, you know, have favorite fighters and things like that. And a lot of people have favorite fighters, not just based on how they do inside the cage. And boxing they always had a problem promoting personalities. Because the promoters, basically, their job is to just promote one fight. And, boxing, it's never been a sport where they showed a lot of personality. They were based on the fights. And these guys are talking smack to each other. There's an outlet for them to do it. You know, when there's a big boxing fight, I guess they've got the little hour-long episodes on HBO sometimes. But for the most part, you don't see all over the internet, all over Fox Sports interviews with these guys, and that's what the UFC is doing. I think it's a very smart move. I think they are creating a lot of new fans.
And the one thing I like, besides the whole WWE aspect that he was talking about, is that sooner or later you're going to see the fights you want to see in the UFC. They're going to do their best to make those fights, so you're going to see good fighters against good fighters. You're not going to see Floyd Mayweather ducking people for 10 years,
yeah.
And that's. That frustrates me about boxing. There's so many fights I'd like to see. Well, Dana just makes them in the UFC. And sooner or later, if he's interested in it, if we're interested in it, he's probably interested in it. So, all right, let's do one more this hour. Justin, you were on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, I'm an Eagles fan, and I saw all the deals that the Eagles made yesterday. So my question is, who do you guys think is the best potential fit for the Eagles at running back? I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know what the answer to the Eagles seem to be hitting reset. I don't know.
Again, for the second year in a row. Honestly, you've still got Ryan Matthews there. They're looking at moving him. I don't know that they're going to be able to. And... I think they're probably going to have to address it in the draft.
Well, or they could look at Kenyon Barner is still there, and I assume that don't forget Darren Sproles is still going to be there. I assume he's not going to be an every down back though. But Kenyon Barner's a cheap answer if they want to go that route, or they can look at Doug Martin, Matt Forte, somebody like that. Doug Peterson does love running backs who can catch the football. That could make Matt Forte very interesting to him, but.
Is that going to be a good fit, though? I mean, with a team totally hitting reset here, and from what I understand, the Packers are real interested in Forte, which
I'd rather be there if I'm him.
Yeah, most certainly, because especially a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield a little bit, that would be a very nice fit. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Vistaprint, and right now, you can get 500 business cards for just $9.99 when you enter my promo code FRED at checkout. For those of you with a business, for those of you with a club, they've got all kinds of opportunities for you. Tons of custom products for home and office needs. Business cards, postcards, flyers, banners, apparel, invitations. I use Vistaprint for some of my other businesses outside of radio, and it's great, man. You get quality cards. You get all kinds of quality stuff. They're inexpensive, and they're easy. You just go to Vistaprint.com and take care of it. You can customize the text, colors, backsides, and more. Thousands of industry-specific templates, and it's a very easy website to use. So I love Vistaprint. I want you to give them a try. So they have a special offer just for the Blitzers. 500 business cards starting at just $9.99. Just use the code FRED at checkout. That's up to a 50% savings over regular site pricing. The quality is great. They're easy to customize, and you can't beat the price. 500 business cards for $9.99. All you have to do is visit Vistaprint.com, design your custom business cards, enter my code FRED at checkout. That's code F-R-E-D. This is an exciting offer for a great product, so don't wait. Go to Vistaprint.com and order today.